And as we welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show for Lawyer Up with Lisa Lanier, we are not just going to her home or her office today. We're going clear over to Madrid, Spain, where she is on vacation right now.
Hola.
Hola, señorita. ¿Cómo está usted?
Hola, hola. Yes, it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon here, and beautiful weather, hot like it is. You know, it's been, Madrid is having a huge heat wave. It was 105 where we were yesterday. Yeah, but it's not as bad today, but it is, it's a beautiful country, wonderful. It's just the 90s today.
Man. So, you know what Big and Chris Dim said? They can't believe you didn't tell us to go go jump and forget this segment, but here you are.
Oh, no.
The consummate.
I keep on keeping on, you know.
That's why you're our lawyer. Yeah. That's our lawyer.
It's easier in Europe this time of day because you can start dipping your bill already.
She already has.
2-3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes. We didn't see the cocktail.
You just saw a photo.
Oh, did she send a photo?
She's half drunk right now.
Sangria.
Yeah.
Yeah, some sangria exactly. And a tapas.
A photo. Yeah.
That's right.
That's a Paloma Spritz.
Yeah. Oh, there you have it. Yeah. There you have it. Now, we had a story come up just a moment ago in a Dim report. Want your opinion on it. The Ohio Supreme Court has weighed in on a gentleman who was ready to sue. He had gone and gotten boneless chicken wings, and he wound up, there was a bone in the boneless chicken wing, unbeknownst to him. So when he swallowed the bone, he felt a pain. What turned out, it punctured his esophagus, which got infected, caused him all sorts of medical issues. So it went all the way to the Ohio Supreme Court, and they ruled that a boneless chicken wing doesn't necessarily have to be boneless. It's only a style of cooking. Now, the decision was 4-3, and in the dissent, the judge that wrote the dissent called it a bunch of jabberwocky. That this thing, I mean, it says boneless, it should be boneless. We were surprised that it went that direction. What do you think, Lisa?
I'm not really surprised. I was involved probably 30 years ago when I was a young attorney in a case, actually on the other side, where I was, doing insurance defense. And I was representing a major fast food chain. And our case went all the way to the North Carolina Supreme Court. And some really good law came out of that with regard to our case, at least, which is that, and this is the majority of jurisdictions. My case was a hamburger case, and it had a bone in it, and it broke someone's teeth out. They bit down on this bone. And what the court ruled was that if there's a foreign object in your food, and it is truly foreign to the meat, then there's potential products liability there on the part of the restaurant. But if it is something that is inherent to the animal, that there's just no way that the producer of the meat can absolutely be sure that, at least, you know, certainly the restaurant cannot be absolutely sure that it didn't come with some trace of some broken off little piece of, you know, cartilage or bone or whatever. That it's just impossible. It's not a reasonable standard to have. And I think the majority of jurisdictions still follow that. So if you bit down on a bolt or something, you know, that had fallen out of a piece of equipment, whole different story.
Yeah.
But if it's something that's inherent to the animal, most states are out of luck.
Even if it says boneless or filet, as David.
Even if it says boneless, even because like a hamburger, you know, you don't expect to have a bone in your hamburger.
Right.
But it is something that can easily happen in the manufacturing process.
All right. Well, there you have it. Jabberwocky in my book.
Uh-huh.
But, okay.
Jabberwocky, yay. Well, you guys are so lenient on these folks.
Well, well, you know me.
It's common sense.
I'm emotional justice. Let me tell you, I got emotional. I just want to play. I know this is 2 weeks old now, but my wife and I watched gavel-to-gavel coverage of the Alec Baldwin trial. And when they threw that out over the prosecutorial misconduct of not turning over evidence, I want to know, Lisa, have you ever experienced something like this? The prosecutor was actually on the stand to try and clear her good name when the defense attorney asked her about her mention of Alec Baldwin in a private conversation.
The truth of this matter is you don't like Mr. Baldwin very much, do you?
You know, that is absolutely untrue. I actually really appreciate Mr. Baldwin's movies. I really appreciated the acting that he did on Saturday Night Live, and I really appreciate his politics.
You told one of the witnesses who disagreed with you during an interview that you thought Mr. Baldwin was a cocksucker.
I do not recall saying that.
Oh, you hesitated.
Long pause, right? What do I say now?
Long pause. Now, Biggie's supposition is that you, on occasion, have called me a seasucker. We don't know. We don't know it. You're not on the stand. You're in Madrid.
Your laugh says it all. Yeah.
Were you? I was shocked that she took the stand there. Were you surprised that she was on the stand?
Yeah, that whole turn of events. You know, there have been several high-profile cases recently where there's been such prosecutorial misconduct that cases that could have legitimately been won have been lost by that. And so I hope that there's a takeaway there that, you know, I mean, they've got to follow the rules. You know, they've got to disclose the information that they have, whether it's, you know, good or bad. And it's the whole basis of our system. You know, right. You got to be able, if they have exculpatory evidence and they withhold it, bam, you're going to get like this, and you're going to get the charges dismissed.
Yeah, nailed her. Shocking. I mean, I really was watching. My wife was so into that trial, and it was stunning. In the beginning of the day, they said they may dismiss this whole thing.
It was stunning.
Yeah, and they did.
Yeah, it was stunning.
And now a couple of jurors have come out and said they were leaning toward guilty before the case
got
done.
Oh, yeah. I think he was going to get convicted. So, I mean, it was the best thing that ever happened to him.
Well, he was thrilled. He started, now the seasucker comment notwithstanding, he was bawling. He was crying when it all happened.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is a story 2 weeks in the making. We were going to talk about this a couple of weeks ago. Then we were out because of COVID, and now Lisa is in Madrid. A 19-year-old topless entertainer, we say the word stripper here in Florida, is suing the state of Florida because a new state law raises the age requirements for her profession. And so she says now she's not only lost her job, but it's violated her constitutional rights. You now have to be 21 years old to be a stripper. And I guess they're not grandfathering her in. So she's out of a job, even though she was in the job until they made this law. Can she sue to try and get a job back, Lisa, at age 19, trying to be a professional topless entertainer?
She can. And there's actually already a young lady that has sued ahead of her who is out of Jacksonville, Florida, whose case has already gone to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. And the expectation is that the young stripper from Jacksonville is going to win because they're saying, so, you know, stripping, dancing, exotic dancing is considered a form of art. It's protected. It's speech. So, you know, art is speech, and so it's protected speech. And so in order for the government to regulate that, first they have to have a compelling government interest, which what they're saying here is that they're trying to prevent child sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
They can't show, like in the Jacksonville case, they couldn't show any empirical evidence that there was any relationship between strip clubs and sex trafficking. And so that was kind of problem number one. Problem number two is if you have that public interest that's, you know, legitimate, then you have to narrowly tailor your rule, your law, into as narrow as possible so as not to infringe on people's rights. And here it's incredibly broad. And what owners of these clubs are saying is that 19-year-olds can't be hired as plumbers, carpenters, cleaning staff, kitchen workers, dishwashers, you know, that it's just, you can't have an under 21 person anywhere, anyhow, anytime, and that it's really hard for them to police it.
Uh-huh.
And so that's where I think the court in Jacksonville is expected to say, hey, you know, you guys, you've expressed on its face a compelling government interest, but you've not narrowly tailored it. It's too broad. Okay. So I think it's going to get struck down being too broad.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Just to flesh out the story a little bit, I tried to find an image for Dave of the dancer.
Right, of course.
Who just wants to dance. I could not find an image of the young woman, but I do know this.
Yes.
She danced at a club called Club Risque.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's right next to a vape store and a Wire Money to Mexico store.
Wouldn't expect anything less.
Yes, exactly.
And she's a nude dancer.
Oh, she's a fully nude.
Does that make a difference?
At age
fully
19.
Nude.
Still okay, though, Lisa.
Dancing is dancing.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I think if Florida had been a little bit more judicious about the way they, you know, if they had made it very specific to nude dancers versus just any employee of the club, then I think they would have stood a good chance of it prevailing. But they just made it too broad. So they may react if they lose. Florida may react and then come back with a different piece of legislation, making it more tailored to just the dancers. And then it's going to be a harder question for the court.
That makes sense to me. Dancing, yes. Plumbers, I don't think
What's up with that?
Yeah, that's Jabberwocky. In my mind, it is. Here's more of it now. From California, a woman has claimed that her cancer has returned. Her name is Oksana Krichenko. She's 51. She's filed a lawsuit against an airline. She's suing JetBlue because last year she was on a flight. She was in remission from stage 4 cancer, but she and her husband, Peter, say they were victims of an unexplainable level of cruel humiliation and ridicule when they tried to fly, return home from Florida to California last September on JetBlue. They had an emotional support animal on the plane with them, and they became an altercation over this. And she says, because you were so rude to me, my cancer came back. That's a leap. Now I cannot see how that's possible, but they say they paid $4,200 and some odd dollars for round trip tickets, first class, sent the airline all the forms for traveling with a service animal, which was a dog, but were treated so badly the cancer came back after that JetBlue flight.
Mm. Prove it.
Lisa, your thoughts on this woman's chances? That's his audacity. Now, what are you thinking?
It's Jabberwocky, right?
Yeah, right. 100%.
But here's the thing. This was actually not an emotional, whatever it was, not an emotional support animal, but a service animal.
You're right. It was a service animal.
A real one.
That's right.
With her cancer. Yeah. So that does up the ante a little bit. And mm-hmm. So I think under the ADA and some of the airline regulations, they do have to let her have a service dog on the flight. What they did was they told her it couldn't be in first class. They paid for 2 first class tickets. They told her husband had to move to economy with the dog, which he did. Mm-hmm. But then apparently the dog was an English or French, sorry, French bulldog.
Right.
And it was too fat for some sling that they had it had to sit in or something on the seat.
Yep.
And so it makes no sense to me why they gave these people such a hard time, because the guy went to economy. He wasn't throwing a fit about it from what I've read. But it's like every once in a while these airline employees just pick on somebody, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they came off as jerks, to the flight attendants or something, but for whatever reason, it went very south. And so, yeah, I think they may end up having some settlement-worthy claims under their ADA, all the kind of inconvenience. But it's just a ridiculous stretch to say the cancer came back.
Yeah. Right, right. But they were treated better. Well, we just talked about Terrell Davis.
Sadly,
You hear that story about Terrell Davis, the football player, said he was treated badly on a plane. Similar thing.
Oh, yeah.
He was taken off in handcuffs.
Yeah.
The flight attendant said that Davis put hands on him.
But all he did was tap him on the shoulder.
To get some ice for his kid.
Because the guy didn't hear him as he walked by, so he tapped him on the shoulder, and the guy said, "Don't hit me," and ran off. Very weird.
Yeah,
they're claiming race on that, like racism, because he was let off the plane in handcuffs when it landed.
I feel bad for that French bulldog flying from, how long was that, a 7-hour flight?
Yeah, Florida to California.
Good Lord, 8 hours?
And too fat for the sling.
And in economy on JetBlue.
That's probably why they put it in the sling. It's probably like a waterproof, pee-pee-proof sling or something.
I wonder if the workers at the airline saw that and said, that French bulldog is a service
support
animal.
Yeah, raise my eyebrows.
I'm kind of like, you gotta have a golden retriever.
You don't see them as work dogs.
Not usually. That's right. This is an airline story as well. If you've heard of the band Salt and Peppa from back in the day,
push it.
Sandra Denton, who is Peppa, was flying on Southwest Airlines, and she bought 2 seats to travel on Southwest Airlines. This happened just earlier this month. She was flying from Las Vegas to Nashville. Reports from TMZ state that she bought the 2 seats to make room for her knee injury. She had a knee injury back in 2018 after a car accident, but for whatever reason, they wouldn't let her have the 2 seats once she got on the plane, because they said it doesn't warrant this, because this is an old injury and you don't need the second seat. So they maintained that they had a decision, they got in a fight, and they removed her from the flight based on safety concerns, they said. Very weird. Now she is saying you're violating the Americans with Disabilities Act, and she's thinking about a lawsuit against Southwest Airlines. Lisa, what do you think about Peppa?
So, hers is kind of a close call, too, because the 2018 accident left her just with a knee brace. Like, it didn't seem like it was anything that rises to the level of an ADA accommodation, but she says it is an ADA accommodated injury. So I don't know that, but it didn't sound very serious.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that it did seem, she paid for 2 seats. Then somebody comes along, and apparently somebody came to the gate trying to get a ticket because they'd had an immediate family member die and they were trying to get to the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they were saying to her, look, we need to give this seat to this person. It's a bereavement situation. And she was like, I don't think so. And so they didn't like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they, it's just a, the throwing her off the plane part, I think, was a little bit extreme. They said that she was filming them and her entourage was filming them against their will, the flight attendants, and they didn't like that. And that was the part that they said was creating a danger. That seems like a little bit of a stretch, but who knows how, you know, it's now these days, like, if any kind of sort of little uproar happens, then the flight attendants will boot you off that plane in a heartbeat, you know, so it's, you know, she might have gotten loud, I don't know, but it just seemed like it went in the wrong direction for sure. Like, I mean, they should have let her stay, in my opinion, let her stay on the plane, unless she was truly that scary and unruly. But maybe, you know, it was legit to me that they were also asking her to let somebody sit in that seat if she doesn't have a serious condition.
And me too.
It sounds to me like Peppa was pushing it.
She was.
Real
she
good.
Was pushing it a little bit. She was. I mean, you know, just do the right thing, right? If everybody would have just kind of compromised and do the right thing, you know, you won't be as comfortable, but this person gets to go to their, like, mom's funeral or whatever. Come on.
Well.
You know what?
Yeah.
About half a world away, one Paloma spritz in, Lisa speaks truth.
It's the truth. That just makes too much sense. Listen, she's had just enough sangria to make just the right amount of sense here today. Everybody compromise.
I'm for it.
Y'all
Everybody
cool.
Just be nice to each other,
y'all
right?
I want to shoot. You know? Y'all be cool. She just said, all right, I'll take one seat. It'll be all right. You know, one flight, no big deal. Come on.
Right.
I didn't know Pep had that kind of money for an entourage and two seats.
Entourage. Boy, that song, that Push It, must be played a lot for whatever. She gets some royalties on
that. Jam.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. One more quick lawsuit here for you, and this is a serious one from Boston. It's been filed against Hershey, against Walgreens, and several others in a Massachusetts case. A teenager, a 10th grader named Harris Woolaba, he actually took the one chip challenge and died after doing it. He bought one of those Taki chips, and they sell like one for $10. Now, it says on the side of the chip for adults only because it has so much chili powder, chili pepper, and the challenge is to eat the chip and keep it down. Well, he had a heart condition, and when he ate the chip, he died. So now his family is suing Walgreens, Hershey, and others, saying, you weren't even supposed to sell him this. He's not an adult, and yet you have it right out here on the shelf, and you didn't care that he bought it. What do you think, Lisa? Now, he bought the chip and took the challenge, but they're saying he never should have been allowed to do it. Is his family going to wind up winning here?
Yeah, you know, this is going to be, it's going to be a tough case because he had sort of this, you know, anomalous heart condition that nobody knew about. Mm-hmm. And the key is, I think, they put warnings on the product that said, you know, that it was dangerous and that you had to be a certain age. And that if you had any underlying health conditions, you should not eat it. They may still end up settling. I mean, because obviously this is a serious, I put a picture of this thing on my Linear Law Group social media because it's fascinating. You just get, well, I've actually eaten one of these things. You get one chip. Oh. I didn't participate in the challenge, but I like really spicy hot food.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally package one chip, kind of a big chip, almost the size of like the palm of your hand.
Right.
And it's just in one little container, and it is unbelievably hot. Unbelievable. Mm. And it's not, I don't think it's made by Takis. It's something that, it's called Pocky.
Pocky, yes, that's right.
Yeah, Pocky. And but it is unbelievably hot. But Walgreens, I think, has pulled it now because it has been sending, for whatever reason, young people cannot handle this.
Yeah,
it's sending teenagers to the hospital because of this challenge, sending them to the hospital. They say in droves. So apparently, it's bad. Well, part of the challenge is that they're not allowed to drink any water or anything.
Oh, okay, right.
Did you finish it, Lisa?
You know,
you ate the whole chip.
I ate it, but I had plenty of water, and I actually ended up drinking some milk. I mean, it was hot.
Yeah,
exactly. Milk is the key. They
is it the packaging in a coffin?
Yes, packaging in a coffin.
Yeah, it's in a coffin. Yeah. Well. Yeah.
But more do you need to know?
Was he too young to buy it, and should the Walgreens clerk have known that?
It was not one of those products that you would put, you know, like cigarettes behind them. There's not. It's not a law. It's just not recommended for younger people.
All right. Then
So I don't think they were obligated to do that. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, they may end up settling because there is strict liability in a lot of jurisdictions for products cases. So they may end up settling. But it's tough when they've warned you for all of the things. All the boxes are checked. this kid.
Yes. Okay. Mm. Too spicy for me. No thanks.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, people have sent us or tried to send us that for years, the one chip challenge, and I just wave them off.
No way. I'm not
None of us
it.
Are doing that.
Too spicy for me. Now, Lisa, she's in Madrid right now. She likes the spicy
Lisa,
food.
When are you going to take this show with you one day?
Come on, Lisa. Let's go.
Yeah, y'all come on. Come on. It's a good time. We actually were supposed to do all this Prado Museum and stuff today, and one of my kids was just exhausted from all that we've done. And we just decided we were going to have a chill day. So we've just been on the rooftop of our hotel. Just enjoying
it. Have a good time. Thank you, Lisa. Fantastic as always.
Have a great weekend.
There she goes. Have a great trip back.